Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
She was a romance mystery writer.
They gloated on the fact that she writes stories like this.
There are murders in all of the books.
From Wondery, the makers of Ghost Story and Theta, this is a story about a murder that rocked my little community.
Binge all episodes of Happily Never After ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and sitting right next to me today, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi.
Welcome.
Well, hello.
We're having a really special day because we don't have a recap, and we don't normally do interviews, but we sometimes get the opportunity to talk to people, and we just can't pass it up, you know? And today is one of those days. We get to speak to Aisha Scott from Below Deck and Below Deck Mediterranean. Isn't she great, Ben?
We love Aisha. It was very fortunate for us because there's a lull in recaps right now, or shows on Bravo right now. So like Ronnie was saying, we don't always have the time to be able to interview people. And so the fact that this worked out well, that Aisha was around, there's a gap in the Bravo schedule. We're like, let's do this. Let's talk to Aisha.
Yes, and we did. Talk we did. She's hilarious. She's sweet. She's kind. She's gorgeous. And now she's pooping in an actual toilet instead of a bucket in a van. And we couldn't be more excited for her. Let's get on with it. Please welcome to the show, Aisha.
Hi. Oh, my God.
Hi. Aisha Scott.
Hello. How are you two?
So good to talk to you in real life. We only talk to you on Instagram.
Yeah.
I know. And it's just so nice to talk to you in real time because I listen to your podcast all the time. And I honestly, how are you two so funny? How do you think of the things that you say?
We're usually cracked out on coffee and we're exhausted. And so just whatever pops into our brain is what pops in.
It's a bunch of nonsense.
I honestly just cry laughing the whole time I listen to each episode. And I'm like, how did they get there? How did they come up with this? It's so brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
So yeah. How's it going with you on your third? Is this your third iteration of Below Deck? Or I guess it's your second.
Fifth?
Well, it's my... Well, I've gone back. I slotted myself around and now I've come back home to my first iteration. So, yeah. So this will be my fifth season now and my third mid-season.
Is Australia, is Down Under going to come back? Do we know?
Oh, I'm not sure.
They're not allowed to say.
You don't have to come.
No, they have to ask. They're very secretive on Below Deck.
They are. We get a big hand slap if we say anything. So,
and it's hilarious because Below Deck's kind of the same. It's on year round and it's just Below Deck every time. I mean, I don't know why they're so secretive, but it works because it is secretive. And then I am shocked every time somebody comes back. I'm like, wow, oh my God, I can't believe it's that girl.
I know, because I don't know anything that goes on outside of my series. And so I'm the same when I'm watching it and you see a return person. It's so exciting.
So you really don't watch the other Below Decks? Is it just more?
No, I watch them, but I don't know any of like the behind the scenes info. Yeah, until I'm like watching it. Yeah.
By the way,
likes to keep a tight lip.
Yes. I just want to say also, thank you for waking up at the butt crack of dawn to do our show. Because you're in New Zealand right now, and I can see that morning sun. And by the way, you're also not in a van right now. We can see your
I know.
House.
Look, I upgraded. Like, I've got doors, I've got windows, curtains, an outdoor table.
Oh my God,
table.
That's so nice. So what do you guys do? Do you actually just walk into the bathroom to watch each other poop to keep it like old times?
I like to, but Scott doesn't like doing it to me, but I do it to him. The other day, he left me this poo for me to look at in the toilet because I get really excited about that kind of thing. But he gets very serious afterwards and he's like, just remember, never do this to me. He's like, I still want to fuck you. I do not want to see your poo.
That's so funny. Well, congratulations to you. You guys just got engaged, Tom. When are you going to do it?
Thank you.
I know, it's amazing.
Thank you. Well, we do it all the time, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, baby.
Hashtag van life.
I know. No showers. It's a sticky time. We are going to get married. We want to wait until next New Zealand summer. So the summer of 25-26. Because we've got a lot of American friends and family. And we want everyone. It is very far away. So we want everyone to save up enough money that they can come for 3 weeks and really enjoy themselves.
You're like, it's going to be a destination wedding, but we want, like, we're going to force everyone to come, basically. Because normally exactly. people do destination weddings, they're like, this is great, I can cut down on the list. But you're like, no, save up. You're all expected to be there.
Yeah.
Well, because I find that a lot of people in the States, they... Everyone says to me, oh, I would love to come to New Zealand, but it's just so far away. And I'm like, what do you mean? You get to do your favorite thing. Like, you just sit down and watch movies for 12 hours, and then you're in this beautiful place. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
So this is a great way to get people to come and actually do that.
That's actually a really good point. And now, by the way, so this sort of is a segue. Speaking of friends, who are the people in the Below Deck universe that you're actually, like, friends with?
Oh, well, like, I...
like, hate those fuckers. I hate every single one of them.
Your voice for me is so spot on. I love it so much. I really love Hannah.
You're doing so great.
Oh, you did such a good job.
I love everyone.
Maybe next time they'll do it much better.
So, yeah, who are you really friends with in that world?
Hannah, I talk to all the time, Anastasia all the time, Fraser, Daisy, Haley, pretty much everyone from my latest season.
Oh, I love that. So you're friends with them, but you're friends with all different...
Natasha, Katie, Dave. I was talking to Dave this morning. I really want Dave to come back as the chef. How can we make this happen?
Yeah, you know, we need more mirror glazes. That's the thing. We need more mirror glazes. He's like, I got an idea. I'm going to make a cake.
Mirror glaze.
Mirror glaze.
Yeah. Well, it's better than beef.
Hey, it's better than cardamom, you know?
Oh, my God.
What was the spice? Did we ever find out what the spice was?
No, I never found out what it was. I would love to know. And Gigi was like relentless with trying to find
out.
She
was.
That woman the must have asked spies. Me 50 times. And he didn't have an answer. And I'm like, how the hell have you made all of these meals and you've got no idea what spices are? No, because he kept saying, there is no spice. There is no spice. And she's like, well, there is. It's like, well, there isn't. Well, there is. And it was just this... Spice.
It was like clouds of spice, dried spice going into that rice. You watch them pour it in. I was like, what are you doing to these people?
The whole marketplace went into that Mexican rice.
It was bizarre. So you're,
exactly.
So you're still friends with like a lot of the Below Deck people. I love it. It's so funny because when you say the names, it's so funny. Once the season's done, you're like, Haley and Kelly and Joanna.
I don't know any of these people. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even when people come back, I'm like, I don't know who that is. Like this season, Ellie came back. She's like, I'm big. And I was like, who the fuck is that?
I don't know. I didn't know either.
I didn't know until she put the bunny ears on. I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember. I mean, now that she's on a longer
and I
season.
I thought I watched that season. So I need to go back and watch to the very end, it seems.
Yeah, it was just she wasn't on that much, but now that she's been on this season, I love her. I think she's so great. I think she's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. I was laughing this morning when you were talking about like the Barbie doll making the house, and it's like when she said that, I was like, that is brilliant. I would never think of that.
I just get glue gun. Those bitches need a roof.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. Are there some people in the Below Deck universe that you feel like deserve to come back onto the show, or you want to come back to on the show?
Oh, well, I would really like, I know you said you couldn't remember, but I would really like Haley to come back because
I love Haley.
Big red hair, she's just so
I love her.
She's just a loose bitch. She's so herself. And when she, I think the unfortunate thing was when she did the last season, she had a boyfriend, but she doesn't have a boyfriend anymore. And she said that she is getting that D. And I think her coming back single would be exactly what the show needs.
That would be wonderful because she was she on regular Below Deck?
Yes, with Fraser.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm actually surprised she didn't come back. I thought she was so fucking funny. And I'm also surprised she's not with that guy because I feel like once you have a guy that you can talk to like that, you're with your guy, you know? Like, they were just so dirty together, you know? It's like everything was just so nasty.
Hayley's the kind of person that will turn any man nasty. So she'll find another one. She'll find another one.
Yeah, I would love for her to come back. I'm trying to think of some of my other favorites.
She'd be
like
great.
Every season, I'm always like, this person is an icon. They should be on every single season. And then like a week goes by after the show, I'm like, who is that? Who is that person who should be coming back on the show?
Well, because there are so many series, there are so many versions of it now and so many people on it that it is hard to keep up. Because when I first started, it was just Below Deck and Below Deck Med. And everyone that came on, like you'd do one season and you'd get like a couple hundred thousand followers and that kind of thing. But now the people that are just starting to come through now, you do one season and they'll get like maybe 40,000 followers from it because there's just so many people.
Right. Yeah.
Now I have a question.
I saw a Below Deck Below Deck thing once that Bravo did with all the cast there. It was insane how many people were there. It looked like a mall full of people.
It's so wild, eh?
Yeah.
So question. On the latest episode, there was a lot of drama around the beach picnic and everything. And Ryan and I keep on saying like,
oh my god, that drove me mental.
I was watching it. I was so stressed out watching that entire thing.
I'm just cutting to that guy drinking and having a popsicle.
What kind of head of department is like, oh, nah, it's cool. Don't worry about it, guys. The primary's going to organize her own entertainment.
Yeah, and wasn't this the first beach picnic of the season?
Yes.
So he definitely should have been there.
It's just anything to do with the outside is like the exterior's job. And it just annoyed me how he took one statement from Sandy, I think, being like, oh, you know, Gigi's got an idea for some games. And he took that and ran with it and chose like the lazy route and was like, cool, our primary's just going to organize her whole own beach picnic.
Her own beach Olympics.
What world are you living in? These people are paying thousands of dollars to be here.
Meanwhile, Gigi's game is, okay, it's trivia. Who here has won a Grand Slam?
Me. Okay.
The end. My game's done.
I won.
My game's done.
How many? It's one below 18 and one more than 16. Oh, did I say that already? It's 17.
Are beach picnics common in yachting? Or is that a thing that we see on Below Deck?
No, unfortunately, they are very common and they're
really
freaking irritating because everything comes back. You know how like spotless we try and keep the boat and everything that comes back is just coated in sand. You just draw like pull sand all through the boat. They're pretty annoying, but they're very common.
And what are other things that are actually real in yachting? Like, are the theme parties really a thing that you guys have to do every night? Because, like, how many people need a Great Gatsby party?
I know.
Why is that every single
season? Honestly, the themes drive me crazy because I come from, like, a very high-end yachting world, and I find themes super tacky. But it's just, like, something that we do all the time. So in regular yachting, you do theme nights, but you'd do like one a season, you know, you'd maybe do like one a charter. Maybe you do like some groups, you do one a charter, but your charter is like 2 weeks, but it's definitely not like a very, like an every night or every second night thing for sure.
Because Below Deck is like, it's, you know, because it's a TV show, like the charters are really short. They're like 1 or 2 days.
Yeah.
And that's not usually the case, right?
Normally, no.
Like a week or 2 week or multi-month charter.
Exactly. Like, usually they're about 10 days. I've had guests on for like 6 weeks before. They're super, super long. But yeah, so with the show, they purposely make them really short because that makes our lives so much harder. Because then every group that comes in, it's like you've got a whole new set of preferences. You've got to re-clean the whole boat. You've got to take everything out of the fridges, re-put their stuff in, reorder, change the spirits. It's just so much extra work. And they're just in the control room like,
that's why we see so many breakdowns. Like, I remember the one Below Deck with Francesca was the chief stew, and she came on.
That's right, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and she, the first day she came on, and by the end of like the first episode, she was sitting with Captain Lee crying in his face. She's like, "I'm having a breakdown."
Intense, like, because my sister's a chief stew and she's like, I just want to vomit every episode that I watch looking at what you have to go through, because it's also like, it's those short charters, but it's also the fact that we don't even see the boat or meet our crew or know what they're capable of until like we join the boat and we pick up people in 24 hours. That's
insane.
So sad.
So how much of your life now is doing real yacht? I mean, not real yachting, but non-TV yachting. Because you're doing this, it seems like, all the time now.
Yeah, not much, I'll tell you that. Which is nice, because when I first started, I've always wanted to work in TV, and when I first started, I was wanting to transition slowly out of yachting anyway, because it's just like, you can't have a life. It takes up too much of your life. So as I've gotten more and more popular on the show, I've done less and less like non-filmed yachting. Which is really nice. I do like, it is still this weird addictive thing though, because nothing else is like it in the world. So I still try to go and do bits of like temp work, and I want to keep doing that, but definitely not like more than a few months of the year.
Do people treat you differently now that they know you're on TV, or do they know who you are when you do that and treat you a little bit differently when you're doing the real life version?
Yeah, well, the crew all just find it really interesting. They've got, excuse me, they've got a million questions. But the guests always get really, really excited because they all, you know, all the guests watch the show. They're like, I'm on a boat, they're on a boat. This is so exciting.
Yeah, I honestly, I get so tired sometimes watching the show because I feel like you guys, it looks so rigorous. The constant like tending after the guests, it's like around the clock. Is it also with Below Deck, are you guys like, is it a boat of that size with that many guests, do you normally have a larger staff, or is it is that like a normal size staff that you guys have?
No, so that's the thing, like the boat size that I've been getting every season usually definitely has four stews. And so that's like, so we're getting the most intense version of yachting you could ever get. And then on top of that, they're like, and we're going to give you one less stew. Yeah,
of course. And none of them have any experience.
No.
Oh, yeah, because there's so you guys have like intense. A flooded room this season. I feel like we haven't gone back to that. But the season opened up with Captain Sandy being like, oh, well,
it's leaking.
It's leaking. It's leaking. Well.
I know. It's hey,
come
so
in here. Come
intense.
In here. Hey, come in here. Come in here. It's leaking. Still leaking. That's my favorite thing. Captain Sandy just being so drolly excited about that. It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Kiki Palmer, your favorite quadruple threat actor, singer, dancer, and my new role, podcaster. My podcast, Baby, This is Kiki Palmer, is blowing up, y'all, because every episode I bring on an icon. Like when John Stamos and I talked about internet trolls hating on Disney adults, or when Jordan Peele explained why we love scary movies, even though the world is already creepy as fuck. Tune in to learn a little and laugh a lot, because your girl keeps it real. Listen on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Peyton, it's happening. Ugh. We're finally being recognized for being very online.
It's about damn time. I mean, it's hard work being this opinionated.
And correct.
You're such a Leo.
All the time. So if you're looking for a home for your worst opinions,
if you're a hater first and a lover of pop culture second,
then join me, Hunter Harris,
and me, Peyton Dix, the host of Wondery's newest podcast, Let Me Say This.
As beacons of truth and connoisseurs of mess, we are scouring the depths of the internet so you don't have to.
We're obviously talking about the biggest gossip and celebrity news.
Like, it's not a question of if Drake got his body done, but when.
You are so messy for that, but we will be giving you the B-sides, don't you worry. The deep cuts, the niche, the obscure.
Like that one photo of Nicole Kidman after she finalized her divorce from Tom Cruise.
Mother, a mother to many. Follow Let Me Say This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to episodes everywhere on May 22nd, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app on Apple Podcasts.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? Follow Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So last year, after your last Australian season, or the Down Under season, with all the sexual assault stuff that happened, which, by the way, I mean, obviously we said it on the show, but just so beautifully handled by you.
That was really
And great. We've never Aww, seen thank anything you. Like that on the show. We have seen that situation happen, maybe not to that degree, but I mean, we've definitely seen the situation where everybody's super shit-faced and the question of consent can be questionable. Let's just say it could be questionable.
Yeah.
Do you find that that moment has changed things going forward?
Yeah.
And how that's dealt, like when the cast is going out and drinking and how everything is dealt with afterwards?
For sure. Like, I've definitely noticed since that there is like a much closer eye on everything that's going on. You know, even after that incident happened further on, there's like when someone else was going into someone else's cabin, we did have a producer come down and just knock on the door and be like, hey, just making sure that you're both okay That's with good. This and there are a lot more checks just to make sure that everyone is like coherent enough to make those decisions. And they've also cut, you know, they used to make it that they'd pay for two drinks per night. And I think now it's like, if you want to have any drinks, you need to just pay for it yourself. Because they just don't want to be responsible at all for getting people intoxicated and into that situation.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, they did something. Because you never know, you know?
And it is,
especially because Below Deck is done out of the country, so HR, obviously HR is so much different than you know, a normal job, so
because there are, it does seem like sometimes you watch it and you're like, what is the line here between like consenting adults, you just want to have a drunken hookup and be like, no,
I know,
and then yes, it's like, but like versus like when it's a real situation. And actually in that moment, how could you tell, like, oh, this is not, how could you tell, but when was the moment where you said, this is something where we really need to get involved?
It was really interesting because over that night, when I think back to it, I can't actually put my finger on exactly why I like had my spidey senses going. I just felt like weird about it for some reason, like for the whole night, even from when we got in the vans and like Margot and Luke were in the back seat of the van and I was in the front seat. And I just remember him kind of like putting her head on his lap when they were coming home, and I could tell how fucked she was. And there was just something about like the way he was behaving and like his movements that my brain was just like, fuck this. Like, I just need to get this girl to bed because I just don't want anything to happen to her. And I remember, so I put her to bed, and like what they don't show is that I lay in bed with her for like 45 minutes to an hour, like on the door side of her, just lying there, like no one's coming into this bloody cabin, because I just didn't want anything to happen. And then I got really, one of the reasons why I got so upset is because I had been lying there for so long. And then I finally was like, oh my God, it's like 1:30. I've got to get up in like 5 hours to clean this whole boat. I probably should go to bed now. And I got up and went to the crew mess to make my noodles, as I always do before bed. And I was standing at the mic. So I just left. I was standing at the microwave. And then I just hear, no, 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 no. And I hear like the producers like sprinting down the hallway, thumping down the stairs, and I turn around to see them doing that, and they're slamming on the door. And so when I saw that, I immediately knew that something must have happened, like as soon as I left the room. And so I just like broke down because I felt like, so I like broke down because I felt like I had failed Margot in some way. And then after that, then that's when I was like, well, I need to go tell Jason.
Yeah, well, I mean, the truth is, it didn't matter. Like, if he was just waiting, it didn't matter when you would have. You were gonna have to go sleep at some point, so it was just a matter of time for him. Like,
that's crazy. That makes it even worse. I mean, it was sinister enough, dude. Jeez.
I know.
My God,
that really was probably the, I would say probably the most powerful Below Deck episode. The two back to back was most powerful Below Deck episodes I think we've ever had. And one of my favorite parts of that is in the second half of it, when you guys all got together and Zarina made the chicken soup. I just thought that was such a powerful gesture. And then it was just like, it was like this maternal kind of thing, like, sort of like enrobe Margot with like love and warmth. And you guys all sort of came together. It was so beautiful. It was such a great.
And she's just such a beautiful human. She really is. And like, that messed with her for a while, you know? And she, I think what was so cool about those episodes is, is the reaction from the public and how many conversations happened around consent and how many people said that it wasn't okay. And I feel like if that was on reality TV like 20 years ago, it would have just been a totally different response.
Just been like, well, wacky, like wacky.
Yeah, totally. Hijinks, you know? Yeah, exactly. So I think it's like shows that we're progressing, which is nice.
Yeah,
it was really, and that was a wild season in general. Like that was actually one of the best seasons of Below Deck ever.
Like
everyone had a storyline going on that was actually really compelling, and there was so much chaos.
And it was funny.
It was funny, and Joao coming back. So what is the state of Joao? Are we liking Joao? Or are we not liking Joao?
God, because no. When will I
the worst. And it was so funny that season, because I love a good, like, told you so moment. And that season, I just remember, like, no one changes, especially on Bravo. These men, they always have the, like, I'm Joao 3.0. It's like, oh, yeah,
all right.
And then Joao's above out.
The thing with Joao, people, he's so good at manipulating people, and I see right through his bullshit. And the thing that I hate about him is his game is he'll go around and he'll treat people like absolute shit. And then when he gets hit up about it, he'll go, oh, but my mom got trampled by an elephant. And she got, you know, and he starts crying and he says all these sob stories. And like, yeah, and they're sad for sure. But he uses those stories to get away with stuff. Because I'm like, if I've got to hear that your mom got trampled by an elephant one more fucking time.
I love it. Like, and I love that you don't even stand for it, because that is a trauma shield that people use. And they use it all the time.
He uses it in relationships too. He'd be like, you know, like when Zarina wants something, he'd be like, I've been hurt so many times.
I know. I'm like wank, okay, wank, wank, wank. I know. Yeah. It's so stupid.
Like, who hasn't been trampled by a fucking elephant at this point, you know?
Right?
Now two seasons ago, Tumi was your wonderful second stew. She was so lovely and so wonderful. She went on to become a chief stew on Below Deck Med last season. Now her department was pure chaos. It was kind of a disaster. So, do you think that Tumi was given kind of a bad edit, as sort of like like she was in over her head, or do you think that like you're like, oh, Tumi, maybe you shouldn't have done that, like X, Y, and Z as chiefs too?
I I feel like, no, I feel like I really felt for Toomey because I think about my first full season as Chief Stew when I had Ryan and a giant boat. And I just remember how insanely stressed out I was. And by that point, I had like 6 years of yachting experience under my belt. And so Toomey being put into the same situation, but with like Kyle and Natasha, and she only had like 2 years experience. And so I'm like, for her to take that on with that amount of experience, like I can only imagine how stressed out she was. So I think she was just trying to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was such
and a shit seems show. Like, especially because it's a TV show, that people are kind of lifted up and given chances maybe at different times than they would be in real life because it's TV. Yeah. So, like, you want to see Fraser, like, be lifted up, even though in real life, it, and I'm just picking him just because his name was mentioned. He's currently on my mind because I remember his first season, he came in very, like, well, if I were Chief Stew, you know, he had that kind of snotty attitude about it and then immediately left track. In the trash can and got called out or left clothes on the or something where it was like, you know, it's like brag and then get brought right down. But so it's kind of cool to see people like that that are really spunky kind of get lifted up and then have to sink or swim, you know.
Exactly. And it's actually amazing what you can achieve when you are forced to do it. But I just like I was
watching people get
surprised.
Better and better. Well, look at you. You've changed so much since you've had the position.
I know. And I was genuinely shocked when I got the call to come back for the second season of Down Under because I was just so stressed out the first season. I would wake up at nighttime like sopping wet, just sweating constantly. And I just thought I was so, so boring. I do think it was like one of my most boring seasons. So yeah, when they asked me to come back, it was like a very pleasant surprise. So I feel for people on their first Chiefy season.
I think both seasons of Down Under were actually really tremendous. We didn't really get to cover much of the first one because when it came out, we had like a million Real Housewives shows.
I remember. Yeah.
It was like on Peacock, well, we can't, but like, I thought both seasons were tremendous. I really hope that, that Down Under does come back. What do you think are like the biggest pitfalls that a Stew or Chief Stew, or I guess maybe in each position, like Chief Stew, Second Stew, Third Stew, what are the biggest pitfalls that they would encounter on a boat that you see on Below Deck? You're like, oh, don't do that. Oh no, this is, that's a mistake.
I think one thing that I see people doing, which I'm like, oh, don't get yourself roped in, is when you see them bitching a lot with their stews, or like, you know, like feeding into the bitching with one of their stews about another stew, and they're like letting their stews have these like really long gossipy conversations. And I'm like, all you're doing is enabling, like stirring the pot and the drama to come out, you know? And it's, I know that it's easy to do, but I'm like, Just don't.
It is. And we saw in the last season of Below Deck, whichever one it was, regular season Fraser. Of Below Deck, when Fraser like turned it and then that chick took, like she got the green light to go to be negative and it just went so far. And it was against the chef. It was like he was kind of turning her against the chef. And then so she went for it against the chef. And I was like, oh my God. And then watching that whole thing blow up, you know, oh God, it's one of those things.
Oh, you just don't want your crew to go down that way. So like you'll see as the season goes on, I mean, they show it in the teaser anyway, that Bree and Ellie get like very anti each other. And so I just tried really hard the whole season to kind of stay Dr. Phil the whole way and just be like, you know, you got to hear the sides from a distance and not get too
in. Don't jump in my piss and call it a puddle. Dr.
Exactly.
It seemed like, I mean, Ellie and Bree was like, it was going in such a cute direction. Like Ellie was like, sort of teaching her. But then like, honestly, that scene in this week when they're like, so who do you like? Do you like Joe?
No.
Do you like Joe? No. Do you like Joe? No, do you like Joe? No, do you like Joe?
Cut to
no.
5 minutes later. I told her that I like him.
I can be a blowjob.
Oh my God, I know. That did my head in. And like when she's like, you do not go for the man that your supervisor goes for. Like, my sister and I, who's my sister's a chief stew, we paused it and we looked at each other. We're like, that is not a rule. Feeling so supervisor.
You're also not the supervisor.
She's not the supervisor. Exactly. So I don't know. She's, yeah. I don't know what planet
that
she's
was so
on.
Funny.
What are the biggest differences between working for Captain Sandy versus Captain Jason?
I feel like with Captain Jason, you know, we had like a very brother sisterly kind of relationship, which was really nice. Just like so silly all the time. And then I feel like with Sandy, I care so much about her respecting me that I feel like I'm on like my best behavior a lot more because it is the med and it is a higher standard. And I just like, if I disappointed Sandy, it would be like letting someone, I don't know, it would be like letting my parents down or something. Like I just would hate it so much because I started with her and then I went away and flourished and then I've come back and I think I was just so eager to show her who I'd become.
Right.
That yeah. makes
sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's she so actually, cute. Honestly, it was really cute over the season. Because, you know, we're friends outside of the show, which is awesome. But I thought that it would be very much like a Captain Stew kind of relationship more because it is the med. But over the season, we developed this like really funny, cute little friendship, like even more so along the way. And I used to, if I managed to find a moment, I'd pop into the bridge and I don't know, we'd look at some meme or crack a joke and just sit there giggling with each other. And yeah. it was nice to have those moments with her. And I hope that they show those because I feel like a lot of people don't get to see that really silly side of Sandy as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They mainly show like Sandy like looking up like the waves are high today.
God, I love that banana.
Yeah, like, exactly.
No eye in team, everyone.
But there is an eye in wind.
And I see some coming.
It's coming. It's coming hard, everybody. It's coming hard.
Aisha, I just have one final question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Apparently, so I've been very curious. There's so much texting that happens on the and they have all these like the bubbles are on the screen so much, and I was like, how do the producers actually know what's on the text? And apparently, someone said on one of the after shows that the cameras are so close that they just are able to literally see. Is that really how they get all these text conversations, or do they
have
the producers are like, hey, can we see your phone so we can find out what you're talking about?
So what people don't realize, because you'll see there are way less texts from me, because what the new people don't realize, they're quite naive. And it's like the cameras that they have installed in every room that they forget about because people just focus on the roaming cameras, but there are cameras installed in every room and they have like some serious zoom on them. So the second, even if you flashed your phone, like a quarter of the way to where they could see it, they can freeze that and zoom in and see everything that you're saying.
That is
so crazy. So you'll notice when I'm on my phone in my cabin, I'm very much like, you know, I know like where all the cameras are, so I just hide it. And not that I'm doing anything private, I just don't want people looking at my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that has really been on my mind. And, like, and when Ronnie said, no, the cameras just get it, I'm like, but if you're sitting in your bunk like this, how can a camera see it? But I guess it just takes one frame, one moment.
It's modern technology. Yes. Exactly. I mean, that's how they do it. I guess my question would be more like, how many people like just do not care about jerking off on camera? Because I feel like everybody just jerks off on camera, right? I mean, we get at least like two or three a season where you're like, wait a minute, were they just jerking off? And I have to go to Reddit, and Reddit's like, did you see them jerking off? Oh my God.
Was it sailing? When was the last jerk? Because I remember watching someone jerk off, but I can't remember what season. and he was lying on his bed with his back to the camera, and it was like,
I don't remember. It seems to happen like once like, a week. Yeah, I feel like there's people. Always a questionable moment. I remember that guy Emil was one of the first ones that he would always get caught off. He got caught jerking.
I think it was season 3 of Below Deck. It was a season with Rocky, and I don't know if you had been watching it or not, but like Rocky was one who was like, I'm a mermaid, and there's this guy Emil, and yeah, he was totally.
Of course, he's seen Rocky.
Below Deck sailing is like the most jerky offest show. Like,
I'm sure that I saw my first jerk off on sailing. But like, but do people not remember that there's bathrooms?
I know.
Wouldn't you like sit on the toilet?
I feel like people don't understand the camera being that invasive until they see themselves jerking off on TV. I just don't. I feel like they think, okay, either they're not going to air it, or the camera will turn away if someone's jerking off, or the camera, they're going to sleep and they can't see in the dark. I mean, I don't know,
Do you think that you could actually get yourself aroused if you know that there's a camera even in the room?
Some people get more. I'm sure.
That's like, they're like, please, like, I'll just do it right there.
I mean, not me personally. I mean, I would get aroused maybe with a bag of peanut M&Ms in bed. That would be me jerking off of the camera, you know, like,
oh, yes, it's delicious.
Yeah, no, I also I'm not going to jerk off in bed because then you're going to mess up your bed.
I know.
Right? Like, or do it in the bathroom.
Or your shorts or something. Yeah. There's definitely another option. So, but yeah, I just don't know. I don't know. It's so to each their own.
Well, I'm glad we kept this one classy.
I know. Exactly. Well, you know,
we started with pooping and we're ending with jerking off. So that's always fun.
Also, just do people just get so horny on these boats? Because it's like, sometimes these boat manses, I'm like, you could do so much better. You can do so much better.
I know.
Half these boatmans.
I know. I think people just get very horny and interested on boats, all boats, because it's like we are doing, at the end of the day, our jobs are not like glamorous, awesome jobs. Like, we're just like grinding hour after hour, day after day. And it's like, and you're stuck in this bubble with the same people the whole time. And it's just nice to have this little distraction of like someone walking past and you have a little flirt. And then, you know, a 2 becomes a 10 and suddenly you're banging in front of the camera, and it's just a slippery slope. I mean, I don't because I've got Scott, but you know, I definitely found people very attractive that I usually wouldn't look twice at.
Well, you know, it kind of makes me want to join a boat.
Yeah, sure, it is fun. It is really fun.
I want to go bat higher. Because you'd be... I want to walk out with the 10.
You are beautiful. Yeah. No, but that's the thing. You can't walk out with them because as soon as your feet hit dry land,
you're right. I want to walk out on a 10.
Yeah, and you look at each other and you're like, oh.
Also,
it's like the lights coming on at 1 a.m. Yeah, you're just like, no.
Also, Below Deck never seems to cast more than one gay male on a season. So the poor gay guy never has anyone to hook up with.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. I feel like that's just because statistically there aren't actually that many gay guys in yachting. When I think back to my yachting history.
Well, I can tell you
so
this
maybe
much.
That's
there
why.
May be one gay guy on the boat, but there are a lot of gay blowjobs happening on boats at all times because there are a lot of people when needing options will switch. There are a lot of little officers we don't see named Larry and Tom that need some head too. So,
and you know, Bruno from Below Deck, whatever season, he went off and he became a gay porn star. And then actually season 1 had a gay porn star. So like, it's there. I think once word gets out in the gay community that there can be lots of gay sex on a boat, I think.
Oh my god!
Those numbers.
You guys are gonna be. You guys are gonna be overridden.
And it'll be hilarious.
Overrun with us.
I would love that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming to talk to us. It was so great to talk to you.
Yes.
And as real life as any of us ever get.
And next time you're in Los Angeles, hit us up. We'll go out, have some drinks, and have the best time.
I would love that. Please do.
Yes, that's true. Thank because we used you. To go hang out with Hannah when she was here, and now she doesn't come anymore for, you know, because she's not on the show anymore. So we need to replace Hannah.
Yeah, replacing you, Hannah. Yeah. Oh my God, I am there for sure.
Fantastic. All we're right. gonna hold you to it. Thank you so much for coming
Thanks,
on.
Thanks, you guys.
Have a great
Keep
day.
Up the great work.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, sweet one. So Bye. Good to talk to you. Bye, Aisha.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. We wanna hang with Liz Lang. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.